Good morning, Crypto 101ers. This is Bryce, your new host.
And this is Pete DeMine.
And today we have a very special guest. His name is Mr. Eric Larchevec, and he is the founder and the executive chairman of Ledger. Ledger is the hardware wallet company with the Nano X, the Nano S. They've got a bunch of great private key management solutions. And here we are today to introduce you to Eric. Eric, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you. Thank you for having me.
We are very, very excited. So today for our audience, just to set a quick agenda, we actually had Eric on the show previously, so I want to refer you to that episode to check out some of the basics on private key management. We'll do a little refresher here to our audience because you can never overstate the importance of good private key management. We're going to look at the Nano X, which is the newest product, the Bluetooth Ledger, and we are going to go through some of the strongest selling points about the Nano X compared to some of the others. So without further ado, Eric, why don't we start off just by talking about some of the basics of private key management? You know, what is a private key and why are they so gosh darn important?
Yeah, of course. When you own Bitcoins or any kind of crypto assets, what you really own is a private key. So it's very important to be able to manage it securely. A private key, it's just information. It's a bunch of zero and ones that you can write on a piece of paper, but that you can also store in a computer. And basically, it is used to sign a transaction. Whoever has access to the private keys can sign a transaction, which is going to update the blockchain, which is basically going to change the position of Bitcoin from one account to another. So basically, the private key is like a bearer bond. Whoever has it has access to the funds. And that's why it's very important to secure them. And that's why we are providing with hardware wallet digital safes, which basically are going to give a guarantee about the isolation of your private keys. Because if you just use a software wallet, then your private key is in the memory of your computer, and then a hacker can just compromise it, extract it from the memory. And that's why you hear so many horror stories about private keys getting hacked, and that's why anyone who is serious about crypto is going to use a hardware wallet to manage his private keys.
You know, I really liked what you said there about the private keys being like a bearer bond. Could you kind of break that down for our audience of, you know, what is a bearer instrument and how Bitcoin is a bearer instrument?
Yes, of course. Basically, it's cash. When you have a dollar bill in your hand, it's a bearer bond. It's whoever has the dollar bill in its hand can make a payment. So if someone takes the dollar bill from your hand, then there is nothing you can do. You cannot just, you can call the police, but you cannot reverse the fact and you cannot get back your dollar bill. So that's why when we speak about cryptocurrencies or Bitcoin, we say that it's more cash, like real cash money than debt money. And so that's why, in fact, contrary to what we think, it's very physical because you can really own your private keys. You can literally engrave your private keys in steel and just put them in a box in your garden. And so that's really something that you can own. And that's why Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies are so popular, because that's really something you can have. And that's also why we say, not your keys, not your Bitcoins, because all the concept of decentralization, of being your own bank, is that at the end, you really own the private keys.
Eric, you know, going back, we talked quite a bit in our last episode. We spoke about not only you creating the company, we talked about your plans for production, manufacturing, private keys, storage, all kinds of different things. But I just want to refresh. Why did you start the company? What was the need for starting Ledger? And what was your product line evolution? And how did we get to the X?
When we started the company, it was almost 5 years ago, in 2014, we really saw the need for a better and more secure key management. For us, it was obvious that since you were managing everything with your mobile phone or your laptop, then there was a big possibility for security breaches, that it will be very easy money for any hackers just to extract the private keys to steal them. And so we understood that there was no way that Bitcoin or cryptocurrencies could scale without a proper security infrastructure. And we came from the world of the smart cards, the secure hardware technology, which is used to secure banking, credit card operations. And so we had all the knowledge and the know-how to basically start this kind of products. the first hardware wallet that we put on the market, so 5 years ago, was very simple. It was just a smart card with a USB connector, no screen, no button. That was the first iteration. Then we did the Nano S with a screen, which basically added a possibility to verify what you were signing. And that's a very important step for security, because you want to make sure that what you are signing is really what you want to do. Because if your computer is compromised and you connect your hardware wallet, maybe it will ask you to sign a transaction sending all your cryptocurrencies to the hacker. So you want to make sure that you verify with your own eyes what you sign. So that was a big evolution for better security. And a few months ago, we have launched the latest iteration, which is the Nano X, which added the possibility to use crypto everywhere. It's not only USB, it's also Bluetooth. And basically, it opens the way of being able to transact, to do anything with your crypto, with your mobile phone, on the go, without having to take your laptop out to connect, to do all these clunky things. So it was the natural next steps for more crypto adoption.
Right. I've been using the Ledger, and I really like the X. I do. It's a nice machine. But I do see that there's a little bit of disconnect between the S and the X right now. Some more coins are offered on the S than the X. Can you tell me why there's still a disconnect between the two hardware wallets?
Yeah, so I would say that 95% of the coins which are on the Nano S are on the X. There are a few that are not yet on the X, and this is because a lot of the coins support is developed by third parties, developed directly by the foundations of the cryptocurrencies or other developers. And we have sent all the SDKs, all the development tools to all the developers to be able to build the Nano X support. But some of them have not yet finished the integrations, or they want to wait for an iteration on their protocol to be able to work and publish on the Nano X application. That's why there are like a few cryptocurrencies such as Monero or others which are not yet ready, because it requires some more developments. But ultimately, the goal of Ledger is, of course, to have the same level of support on the Nano S and on the Nano X.
You were mentioning earlier the evolution of wallets, and it seems like, you know, I could just get a mobile phone with an app like Infinito Wallet or Atomic Wallet that supports, you know, pretty much every single cryptocurrency out there, and then I could just leave that in a safe, and that costs me pretty much nothing. Why would I want to get a Ledger instead? What security features or convenience features are better than just using a mobile wallet?
So that's a fair question. The biggest feature is security. If you take a mobile phone, like a cheap Android phone or whatever, you don't know basically what is the security model of this device, or better, that you know that there is no security model, and that you have no way of making sure that your phone is not compromised by some kind of attacker. If someone finds the phone in your safe, because you can open the safes, you know, then you do not have any guarantee that it's not possible to extract the private keys. The physical security of a phone is very low, and that's normal because it has not been designed to be some kind of Fort Knox. And also, the software stack of a phone is extremely big. You know, it's more like to a Windows computer, where basically you have a lot of possibilities of having security issues or threats. And you also have to be sure of what you are doing. Because maybe you will tell yourself, okay, I'm not going to do anything on this phone. I'm going to disconnect everything, no Wi-Fi, nothing. But maybe one day you are going to update it. One day you are going to install a third-party apps. One day you are going to do a mistake. And it's a bad calculation to save maybe, I don't know, like $100 just to be able to, at the end, to have some kind of security issues. So if the hardware wallets has been successful, it's because they really give a real security model and they have been battle tested. We have the Donjon at Ledger, which is a security audit laboratory, and we keep all the time attacking our products. We keep also attacking the competition because we want to make sure that we have the highest level of security, always raising the bar. And so our business is about security. And that's why also when if you buy physical gold, you are not going to just put that in your drawer. You are going to buy a real safe, a strong safe, because you don't want to take any risk. And so for the same reason, you have to buy a hardware wallet and make sure you don't take any stupid risk with your cryptocurrencies.
That makes sense. Speaking of other hardware wallets, who would you feel is your major competition and what are the advantages you have over them?
Well, the big competitor to Ledger is Trezor, but they have a very different approach when we are talking about the technology. We are using secure chips, so the same technologies that you can find in chip and PIN credit cards, SIM cards, passports, etc. It's a technology that really gives guarantees about security because the microprocessors, all the environment has been designed to really sustain a lot of physical attacks, logical attacks, etc. Trezor, on the other hand, is using the technologies that you can find in toasters or remote controls, which basically is a normal processors. And they did that so they can have some kind of open design that everyone can buy this kind of microprocessors, do their own Trezor. So it's a very different approach, but it's going to lack a physical security. If you take a Trezor device, it's possible to extract the keys in a few minutes. So you have to make sure if you own a Trezor device that you have to keep it in a strong safe or you have to use a passphrase. So that's the difference in design, which basically relies on the fact that with Ledger, thanks to the secure elements, you are going to have a very strong physical protection. And in the future, if you imagine that you will have millions and millions of users with hardware wallets, you need to be able to use the hardware wallets on the go. You need to have them on you. It's not just something you can keep on a safe because otherwise there will not be adoption. And that's why physical security is important. Otherwise, if you just let your hardware wallet with your keys on the table for 5 minutes and then you don't know if it has been emptied, then it cannot work. That's why it is important for the future of crypto to be able to have very strong physical security.
I really like that. So don't buy a glorified toaster, buy a Ledger. The other thing I was going to say was I remember there was some delays with the Nano X early on in production.
Yes.
Whatever happened there? Because I think you guys released a few hundred and then recalled some and there was some confusion. But I mean, we might as well hear it from you. Whatever happened with that?
So basically, we had a 3-month delay between the date that we announced and the production release of the device. We did a mistake, which is to announce a date before the product was ready. And hardware, well, is hard. And in consumer electronics, there is a rule which says you do not announce products unless they are really ready to ship. So we took the risk to because there was the CES and we wanted to do an announcement. And we had an issue with a mold which broke. And basically, we had to repair the mold to have a good quality of the plastic injection. So what happened is what we call an industrialization issues. We have not been able to produce the plastic parts of the casing because the mold had an issue. And to repair that, it takes a lot of time. And that's why at the end, we had so long delay, like 3 months, because we really wanted to take the time to really repair things, to rebuild everything and make sure that all the pieces that went out had the level of quality that we were expecting. And so that's why in the end, we had these delays. And for sure, next time we are going to announce a product only when it's ready in stock and we're ready to ship.
Those kind of production problems and those kind of like setbacks really hurt a company, hurt either credibility or also even your bottom line.
Yeah, it had a big impact because we had marketing plans, we had a lot of things ready and we had to delay everything. And also, when we knew that there was an issue, we didn't know exactly when it would be ready. It's not like we were able to say, look, we have a delay of 2 weeks or 4 weeks. We didn't know. So what we had to do is just trying to be the most transparent possible with our customers, because let's not forget that these customers are ordered already. I mean, like They started to order in January, then in February. So they were expecting to receive the products. And when you delay something, it's not nice. That's why also we did a compensation of offering a gift of a Nano S for our customers, which was quite well received. And in the end, I think that our customers understood that we had some delays, that because we had been transparent about what happened. So luckily, Ledger is a strong company. We have raised $70 million. So we are in a good position to absorb this kind of issues. And that's why it's important for a company to be able to have strong cash positions, especially when you are in the hardware business. But we have had some long nights, let's say, trying to solve the Nano X issue. Now everything is okay. The production is smooth. The level of selling of the Nano X is good. And also the Nano S is still selling very well because it's a classic in a way. And we are quite surprised by the level of sales of the Nano S. And also we are quite happy about the feedback of the Nano X from our customers or influencers, journalists, that it has been well received. And so we are happy that the reception of the product is really
That's good. Awesome. So I kind of have a follow-up to that question, because I remember in the last bull run, I think you guys like ran out and there was a big secondary market and some of the ledgers were running for like $500 yes. or something. So, you know, I think that the market has turned around. All the long-term moving averages have kind of flipped bullish. Looks like momentum is starting to pick back up. So are you guys ready for the massive product demand that's about to overcome the market? And are you guys ready for the bull market?
Yeah, well, that's a good question, because indeed, in the last quarter of 2017 and the first quarter of 2018, it was crazy. The level of demand was insane. And it's true that there was like some secondary market on the Nano S because we have not been able to produce enough. So this time, we are much more ready. So we have a lot of stock for the Nano S because we know that the Nano S is still going to sell very well because it has a very good price and it's a product which has been vetted by millions of users. So in case there is a huge rush on the crypto, we will be able to deliver on the Nano S. The production of the Nano X is also quite strong. So I would like to hope that the demand will be so high again that it will be a craziness. But I think that this time we are ready. But let's hope that we are not, which would mean that the level of bullishness will be even higher than what we would predict. And I guess that would be a good news for,
that's
for
exactly
everyone.
Right.
Yeah. So who are you going to be watching as this market really turns around and potentially, you know, becomes the best bull market of all time? Who do you have your eyes on?
Well, we are having eyes on the new protocols like Tezos, Cosmos, of course, and also on the decentralized exchanges, what Binance is doing, for instance, pushing a lot on the DEX, doing some kind of stable coin on Bitcoin to be able to do DEX with tokens which are pegged to Bitcoin. That's quite a smart move. And why we are having a look on DEX? Because basically the endpoint is very important, because if you use a centralized exchange such as Kraken or Binance, then it's not your crypto and you are delegating everything to the exchange. When you are using a decentralized exchange, then you must secure your own crypto and you must secure all the transactions. And so it's very important that we are ready to have the support for all these DEX. And so we are working a lot on these subjects. And with these new protocols, as I was saying, with Tezos or Cosmos, staking is very important. And staking is the new mining. And to stake efficiently, you need also security. You need security for the validators, but also at the level of the delegators, because you want to make sure that everything is secure. And so we are having a look on everything what's going with Tezos and Cosmos to make sure that the Ledger Live will support everything related to staking and also DEX, because we believe that's the future. So we are quite bullish with these new protocols. I believe that they are going to be the basis of a new bull run. And so we are going to make sure that Ledger will provide all the tooling and infrastructure to be in line with this new approach.
That sounds amazing. I'm really excited to see just all these different integrations, and everywhere I go, I see Ledger.
I like the idea of staking as the new mining, and you know, it's kind of this new trend that's going to be unfolding in the future with Tezos and Cosmos and lots of the other staking protocols. So I like that. Staking is the new mining.
Yeah. And so the new infrastructure of the mining will be the hardware wallet. So that's a very important challenge for us.
So before we jet out here, I think we each kind of got a couple more questions. But one question I really like to ask guests is, if you had to choose one company besides your company that is having the greatest impact on the crypto space, what would you choose?
Well, Facebook, obviously.
Interesting. Interesting. Okay, continue. Yeah. I want to hear that. I want to hear that.
Wow, I wasn't expecting that.
Well, it's a kind of a joke, but it's in the same time, it's not, because I guess what Facebook is doing with Libra, and we are just starting to see exactly what their technology, what their vision is. We are not sure that it's a real cryptocurrency, decentralized cryptocurrency, but they are really going to push a lot of scrutiny on cryptocurrencies. Billions of users are going to be exposed to cryptocurrencies. And so it means a lot for Bitcoin. So I'm very bullish about the outcome of what Facebook is doing. Not because I believe that Libra is going to be a real cryptocurrency, but because I believe that what they are doing will put a spotlight on Bitcoin and decentralized cryptocurrencies.
Eric, come on, man. Tell us the truth. You were meeting with Mark Zuckerberg, and you are working on a collaboration with them and Ledger, right? Tell us. First, here on Crypto 101.
No, I will not tell anything. we are, of course, having a look to what they are doing. And the fact that they are using Tendermint is, of course, compatible with Ledger. But there is nothing to announce about that. And we are not part of the founders. And we are not sure we want to be part of the founders of Libra, because we are not sure that it's a real cryptocurrency decentralized. So let's see what they do in the future. But in any case, I think it's good that they are putting the spotlight on cryptocurrencies.
I very much agree. And thank you very much for your time, Eric. It's been a real pleasure having you on the show and learning a little bit more about hardware wallets and security. That's all for us today. Don't forget to follow Crypto 101 Podcast on Twitter at Crypto101Pod, and also follow Eric on Twitter as well at Eric Larch. This is Pizza Mind signing off. Thanks for listening.
Thank you, and thank you, Eric.
Thank you.